Chapter 8, Verse 17 of the Bhagavad Gita, with Dr. Anil Mehta.
So we are in the 8th chapter, which is called the Yoga of the Imperishable Brahman, or the Imperishable Lord. And we are going to be starting verse number 17. Last week we had heard how the wise person, once having reached that state of bliss, which is the Lord himself, then never returns to this state of ignorance and does not suffer the pangs and the sorrows of this world because he has risen above them. And such a person is not born again or does not die again because he has realized his imperishable permanent nature, which is Om, the Brahman, the consciousness. And for him, this body, mind, and intellect is an equipment to use, and when he's done, he cheerfully drops it and then merges with the infinite reality. And such a person then does not need to take another birth, while you and me, because we have so many unfulfilled vasanas, so many negativities, so many desires, we keep on taking birth until we reach that state of sainthood. That is the goal of human birth. And the faster we move on the path, the less suffering we will have, the more our purpose of the human birth will be fulfilled. So in today's verse, we'll do 17. The Lord is answering some of Arjuna's original questions. If you remember, in the beginning of the 8th chapter, Arjuna asked the question of who is this Lord? Who is the Lord within? Who is the power behind the senses? And how can I know you? And also, what is creation? What is karma? What is creation? So today, some of those questions, because throughout the Lord has been talking about who is this Lord, and the 17th verse will talk about that, and then the 18th and 19th are connected, which will talk about creation, how this world was created. So just to briefly revise this, we had done last time, just to revise, the Lord has three aspects: God, generator, organizer, and destroyer. So one who creates, one who sustains, takes care of us, and then one who takes us at the time of death. So that is the three aspects of the Lord. And today we will talk a little bit about the yugas, or the different aeons, the different ages, and a little bit about this whole manifest, unmanifest. So just to remind you that there is Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And that's, Brahma is different from Brahman. Brahman is that all-pervading consciousness. Brahmaji is the creator. 17th verse. Sahastra yuga paryantam aharyat brahmano viduhu ratrim yuga sahastrantam deho ratra vido janaha. So here he has mentioned the word yuga. So we'll talk about what are the yugas and what does he mean by that. So we'll just translate sahastra yuga paryantam. After 1,000 yugas, or at the end of 1,000 yugas, when the 1,000 yugas end, that is considered as one day of Brahma. Brahma the creator, so one who created the universe, his one day equals to 1,000 yugas, not even 1,000 years, but 1,000 yugas. What is a yuga? We'll talk about it. So 1,000 yugas makes one day of Brahmaji, and then the 1,000 yugas makes one night of Brahmaji. So that's how long it is. So this is a concept which is very characteristic of the Puranas. And we shall explain what this means. So just briefly to introduce this word yuga. They believe in our scriptures that there are four yugas, or four aeons. So the first one is called Satya Yuga, and that is 1.72 million years. It's not 1.72 years, 1.72 million years is Satya Yuga. Then Treta Yuga is 1.3 million years. Dwapara Yuga is 0.86 million, that's 860,000 years. And Kali Yuga is 420,000 years. So the total is 4.3 million years. So 4.3 million years is one cycle. One cycle, what they call as an aeon A-E-O-N-S. So one cycle consists of these four yogas, and one cycle multiplied by 1,000 is one day of Brahmaji. So one day of Brahmaji is 4.3 billion years. 4.3 billion. So they have actually quantified. You know, they knew that the universe will be existing for so many billion years and then will go into merger. So what is the significance of these four yugas? We'll talk about that. And then I will talk about how this one day equals so many million years. How can one day be equal to 4.3 billion years? Not even million, 4.3. So the four yugas, Satyuga is the first. And that was the best time when the universe first comes into creation. Everybody is very nice, very peaceful, very loving, very caring, very sharing. So the Satyuga, so actually these four yugas are described very symbolically as a bull with four legs. So in the Satyuga, which is the good age, Satya means good, which is the age where everybody is very nice, sharing, compassionate, unselfish. And that was the time when people were good. And at that time, the bull had four legs, was all the four legs. So the universe was standing on four legs, was very stable. Then after 1.72 million years came the Treta Yuga, which is the second yuga. And this is the yuga where Ram was born, Ramchandraji was born. And in this yuga, we find that there is the beginning of corruption and, you know, wrong kind of people like Ravana and demons, and selfishness is coming in and people are becoming more malicious, malignant. So that is the age when out of the four legs, the bull loses one leg. So this bull is now standing on three legs. So the universe is as if standing on three legs. So it is unstable now because things are not very good. In Dwapara Yuga, that's where Sri Krishna was born, and that's where we find a lot of problems. In Sri Krishna time, there was the Mahabharata war, the Kamsa was there, a lot of demons, a lot of bad things were happening. And that time, the bull is now only standing on two legs, one leg in the front and one leg in the back. And can you imagine a bull standing on two legs would be very unstable. So which means that the world is slowly losing its stability. The world is becoming unstable, there are more problems. And then, of course, we now come to, after all these years, the last 420,000 years, 0.42 million years, is the Kali Yuga, which we are in now. The Kali has a lot of meaning. Kali, one means black, also means anger and violence. So we find that in this age, the bull is only standing on one leg. It's very, very unstable because too many problems. There's so much violence everywhere. We feel, oh my God, the world is so terrible and people are so bad. And there is so much corruption. And, you know, corruption is norm and violence and wars are going on. It's not that there were not wars and problems in all the yugas. The good and bad people were always there. But it was the percentage, because slowly the percentage of negative. But it's not, does not mean that one should become disheartened. All we have to do is understand that negativity is increasing. But that does not mean I have to become negative. I can still remain sattvic. I do not have to become, you know, tamasic or corrupt like everybody else. But the very interesting part is that these four yugas, then the world does not end there. That is only one cycle. And then after the Kali Yuga, the Satya Yuga starts again. So it is a cycle. Kali Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara, Kali. And then again Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga. So it is like a cycle. So we may say, well, the world is so bad, it is so depressing. But our scriptures reassure us that even though things look bleak, the morning is coming, the dawn is coming. Satya Yuga will rise again. And we find signs of that. In this age, we find there are a lot of great saints, you know, people like Swami Chinmayananda, Raman Maharishi, Eckhart Tolle, you know, Swami Vivekananda, Ramakrishna, all in the last Nisarg Dutt Maharaj, in the last 100 years, we have seen so many great saints who have spread this knowledge of the Gita and the scriptures. We find so many study groups like these. You know, all over there are 250 Chinmaya mission centers, and there are study groups everywhere on Sunday, and some have 200 and 300 people. So Satyuga is coming back. You know, it is a cycle. So it is not any reason to be disheartened, because they say the night is darkest before the dawn, right? There is a famous saying. So even though things look very bleak, but the dawn is coming. So the next yuga will be Satya Yuga. So what we have to do is become instruments of change. I have to change my life, make myself sattvic, make myself a better person, and make my surroundings better. You know, help people around me, whatever way I can help, you know, materially, physically, financially, emotionally, with love, whatever I can share. And each one of us can become an instrument of change and allow for this Satya Yuga to emerge. So become instruments for this new age to dawn. That's, in fact, Eckhart Tolle has a very big, good book called The Dawn of a New Age, which he talks about that. That the world is changing. It's not static. It's not just going down. But there are good things happening. There are people like Mother Teresa. Now today we heard about this democracy advocate Song Ki, you know, in Myanmar, in Burma, who was freed. And she has, despite years of jail and persecution, she has not given up her, you know, her fight for democracy, her fight for freedom for her people. And the whole country has, all the generals have been against her, but they have not been able to crush, you know, her spirit. So those are the signs of these great people who are going to bring about a change. People like Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln, and all these people are bringing about this change. So that is what, so this is not a hopeless situation. So that is what they're saying. But what do they mean by one day of Brahmaji is equal to 4.3 billion years. And then one night of Brahmaji also lasts 4.3 billion years. What do we mean by that? Swamiji in his commentary explains that when I am happy, when I am peaceful, when my mind is at rest, time passes very fast. You know, when I'm very happy and very peaceful, the example is when you are in love, and, you know, you're just newly, you know, married and so in so much love, or they're just dating, and they go out for a weekend and they have so much fun, and they don't even know how the time passed, and oh, it's time to go back. And then a few years later, and things are not going well, and they're not talking to each other, and they're very angry. And that weekend, you know, when the person is home till Monday, it's hell, you know, because it's like, you know, the time doesn't pass because things are not going well. The example is like, suppose four people are playing cards, you know, and they are sit down at night, and it's a Friday night, and they're playing cards, diamonds, hearts, spades, clubs. And that's all they see, whether it's poker or bridge or whatever. And suddenly they realize, oh my God, it's already 8 o'clock in the morning. The sun has risen and we didn't even know that. Why? Because their thoughts were not many. It was just one thought, diamonds, hearts, spades, clubs. And that's all. And they were having a good time. And on the other hand, suppose that same man, his child is not well, and child is very sick and has a high fever, and he has to be giving medicine, get up every 2 hours, or the lady, the night doesn't seem to pass. So that same individual, for at one situation, the time passes so beautifully. Why? Because he's happy, because his mind is peaceful. It is not filled with 1,000 thoughts. But if I have angry, or if I am stressed, or if I have had a fight with somebody, or tomorrow morning I have some major test and I'm not prepared, then when it is stressful, so the more the number of thoughts, the slower the time passes. The less the number of thoughts, the faster the time passes. So when there is only one thought, that's why people who, when they sit for meditation and their mind is completely silent, completely quiet, and such people can sit for hours. In fact, in our scriptures, they describe people who stayed for years in meditation, for many, many years, sitting in the heat and the cold and the snow and the rain, and they are not even aware of their body. And how can they do that? It is because their mind is very quiet, very focused, very silent, and only focused on one thought, and that is, I am Brahman, I am that consciousness. And ultimately, even that thought goes away. And when that mind is in complete silence, then for such a person, time has no value. He or she has gone beyond time. They have conquered time. You know, right now we get conquered by time. You know, time comes and destroys us. But a person like Jesus Christ or Buddha or Swami Chinmayananda or Raman Maharishi have gone beyond time. They have conquered time. Even 10,000 years from now, people will still remember them. And they will still read the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita and all that. So the quieter the mind, the happier the mind, the longer it can go without any disturbance, and such a person's day becomes very long. So Brahmaji is considered to be the highest form of happiness below the final Lord, Brahman. So here I was reading in the Taittiriya Upanishad, they have very beautifully described what is called as grades of happiness. How happy we are and how much happier are people in the higher realms. It's very interesting. It's actually described in very detail in that. I just summarized it. So now here, a man or woman who has won happiness, and who is that man? Say this person is young. First of all, has to be young, cannot be old. Is young, has all their physical and mental capacities, is very, very intelligent. So has their intelligence, has complete physical health, no ill health, has all the intelligence, has all the worldly knowledge, whatever he needs to function in the world, and has wealth, unlimited wealth. So suppose I am young and I have perfect health and I am mentally very sharp and I have all the money in the world and I have all the knowledge I need to survive. That such a person will consider, wow, that's very happy, right? He has everything he wants. So that is only one degree of happiness. So they count it as one. Okay, so this is the highest that in this world we can get, right? I mean, there's nothing better than that. You have your family, you have your health, you have your youth, you have money, you have power, you have knowledge, you know everything. I mean, you're fine. So that is one degree. So they said 100 times more than that is the knowledge gained by Manushya Gandharvas. Gandharvas are the musicians, the artists, the dancers, the music players. So they say the artists of this world have 100 times the happiness of that one person who had all the wealth. And why? Because when a person is singing with that ecstasy, with that joy, not singing for money, not because he's performing on a stage or he's going to get paid, but when he or she is singing or playing a musical instrument or drawing a painting or, you know, just performing, but where he or she loses themselves, then they get 100 times the happiness of that one individual who had all the money and wealth. And this reminds me of a very beautiful story. There was a king called Akbar. Those who are born in India know about it. But Akbar was a famous emperor. He was a Muslim. But even though he was a Muslim, he was one of the few, majority of the Muslim emperors were very fanatical and were trying to kill others. But he tried to bring about peace between Hindus and Muslims. He was more liberated. So this King Akbar was very interesting. In his court, he had Muslim and he had Hindu people. And his favorite musician was called Birbal. No, Tansen, sorry. Birbal was his minister. Tansen was a great musician. And Tansen, it is said, he was so great a musician, he was so good that when he used to sing a Malhar rag, which is called the rain, you could make rain fall. They used to say clouds used to come and rain used to fall. And he could actually light a lamp. When he used to sing Deepak Rag, there was so much force in his voice that a lamp would light, you know, the wick, the lamp, not the electric lamp, but the other lamp, and he could actually make it light. And that great a musician he was. And Akbar used to praise him. Wow, you are the greatest musician. There is nobody like you in this world, and you are the best and all. So he said, Maharaja, you don't know anything. I am nobody. He said, why? He said, you know, much greater than me is my teacher. And his teacher's name was Haridas. And he said, he's far greater than me. He's 100 times better. I am nobody. He said, there can't be. Let me go hear him. He said, okay. So he said, but I don't want you to tell him that you are the king. So they put on plain clothes and take off their royal clothes and just go and hide where this Haridas used to sing. And he was singing in a temple. And his voice was so melodious. Akbar was enchanted. For hours he sat there without moving. And he said, you're absolutely right. You know, your teacher is even better than you. So So why is he so much better than you? Why is he so good? So he said, King, you know, when I sing for money. I sing for you because I am your royal musician and you are going to pay me. I sing for you. Well, when he sings for the Lord. He's not singing for money. He's not singing for material gain. He's singing out of the glory of singing the glory of the Lord, and it is coming from his heart. It is a spontaneous flow of joy. And so 100 times greater than ordinary person is the joy of the musicians and the artists. And when we talk about all the actors and poets and, you know, all the, not only singers. So Manushya Gandharva, that's 100 times. Then 100 times of Manushya Gandharva are the Dev Gandharvas. These are the musicians of heaven. Now these are the people who sing in heaven, who perform for the gods. So it is said that the singers here are those same musicians who have appeared on the earth. Singers and artists and poets and all. So 100 times than that. Then 100 times than them is the joy of people who are in Pitraloka. There is a loka called Pitraloka where our ancestors go and live. So the ancestors who have done a lot of good deeds and have, you know, served mankind and have been good, they live in a realm called Pitraloka where they enjoy 10,000 or whatever times the joy of 100 times, 10,000 times the joy that is enjoyed here in Pitraloka. And then above that, 100 times more than this is the Devaloka where the gods live. And then even among the gods, they're just as here, you know, we have different grades of people. Some is the president, and another one is the minister, and another one is the, you know, the manager, and then there is the, you know, peon. And so there are various levels. So even in the gods, there are ordinary gods, and then there are special gods who have done very good karmas. So they are 100 times more than this. So 100 times, 100 times, 100, you keep on multiplying. And then even among the gods, there are the office bearers. Like I said, you know, there may be a secretary in the office, and then there is a manager, and then there is a CEO, and then above the CEO is the board of trustees. So it goes on and on. Or in the government, and there is a president, and then there is a secretary, and then there is an assistant secretary and joint secretary. So gods of special karmas. Then there is gods who are office bearers, like the secretary and treasurer and all. So there is a treasurer in heaven too, who's called Kubera, who takes care of all the money. So his joy is 100 times of this and 100 times of, so it keeps on multiplying. Then higher than that is Indra. Indra is considered as the king of all gods. He's like the president of heaven. So his joy is 100 times that, 10,000 times that, a million times, you know, keep multiplying. Then 100 times then Indra is Brihaspati. Brihaspati is considered as the teacher of the gods. So he's the knowledgeable person who teaches all this knowledge to all the gods, not only worldly knowledge, but the same way he sits down and gives lectures. Who is Brahman? Who is God? And what is your role in life? And why are you in heaven? And how, even from heaven? And that's what Indra, it says Indra studied for 99 years. He studied with his teacher to get this knowledge. So what you and I are getting from Swami Chinmayananda and from these scriptures, even these gods have to sit down and study. Who is this Brahman? So that is Brihaspati, who is the teacher of the gods. And then 100 times greater than Brihaspati is Prajapati, or the Brahma, or the creator. And 100 times, or actually infinite, is Brahman, is the joy of the Lord, the Supreme Lord, the Father in heaven, who is the creator and sustainer of this whole universe, who supports this whole universe, all the heavens and all the hells and all the different worlds. You know, there's so many worlds, the worlds of our ancestors, the heavens. And even in heaven, there are higher grades of heaven and middle grades of heaven and lower grades of heaven and slums of heaven. So there is, all of that is there. So there is a constant, you know, hierarchy there. And the Brahman is the Lord that is there everywhere. But he's not far away. He even though he's all powerful, he's all pervasive, he's with me. He's in my heart as Om. But he's the Lord within. He's the consciousness. So he's so close to me. So we are so fortunate that he is there with us at all times, sustaining us, making us talk and walk. And he's so kind and he's so merciful and he takes care of us constantly. And it is very easy to reach him. It is not difficult. You know, we shouldn't say, oh, God is so far away and I am such a sinner. In the Gita, he says, you know, no matter how great a sinner you are, you just turn your mind towards me with love and I am available. I am there. I am just waiting for you to call me. Just turn your mind inward and remember me. Just call me as Krishna or Shiva or Durga or Jesus or Buddha. It doesn't matter what name you call me. It doesn't matter what form you worship me. It doesn't matter what book you read. It doesn't matter what church or building you worship in. It doesn't matter which language you call me in. It doesn't matter what relationship you have with me. It doesn't matter anything. Just remember me with love. That's all he asks. And he's there. So they say that a man who is well-read and free from desires and has this highest experience, this experience of Brahman, he has the joy of all of these. So this realized master who is living among us, like a Swami Chinmayananda or a Shankaracharya or a Jesus, who is well-read and free from desires and has the higher experience, he has the joy of all of these put together. All of them equal to that one individual who has that. That person could be poor, he could be wandering in the Himalayas, he could have no clothes, he could have torn clothes, not even have shoes. He doesn't need to have anything. All he has to have is the knowledge, and he has to be free from desires. And the only way one can have the knowledge and be free from desires is by having that higher experience. So once you have that experience, then for such a person, nothing matters. There is a very beautiful book in the office. It's called Jivan Muktanand Lahiri, where Shankaracharya defines this man of wisdom, Jivan Mukta, the liberated soul. He says, this person may be sitting in the fair and be with all kinds of youngsters, you know, laughing and joking and playing and enjoying all the rides and, you know, having fun and drinking and eating and playing and laughing. And then next day he may be all alone, sitting in the banks of a river, all by himself, sleeping at night without any bed on the rocks. Munirna vyamoham bhajati guru diksha kshatatamaha. He says a muni then never gets deluded. Why? Because his ignorance has been removed by knowledge. Guru diksha, by the knowledge of the guru, his ignorance has been removed. And for him, he is equally happy. When he is among people, he is having fun. If he is all alone, he is having fun because he has the experience, that inner joy. So the idea is that Brahmaji or the Prajapati has millions and millions of times of joy that we have and has that much degree of peace and silence and very extreme quietude of the mind. So one day of Brahmaji equals billions of years, and one night of Brahmaji or the Prajapati equals billions of years. So this will be talked a little more in the next two verses, but the idea is that what do they mean by day? What do I mean by day? By day means I awake and then I go about creating things. I may create good or I may create mischief or I may create problems, but I am creating, I am doing. So throughout the day I am working, creating, and then at night when everything ends, then I go to sleep, and then in that 6-8 hours at least, the world is free of my, you know, of me, because I'm not awake at least to create problems. So then at night I go into the quietude or the silence when I'm not creating. So similarly, they say that the universe was created by the Lord, by the Creator, and for the whole day, for 4.3 billion years, there is creativity going on, action going on, the world is multiplying and growing, and then at the end of that, the world goes into pralay, into what is called as the deluge, what is called the end, and merges, and that's when the creator goes to sleep. So the creative power as if goes to sleep. Of course, the Brahman, the Lord, all consciousness is ever unchanged. It doesn't go to sleep and all, but the creator, what is called as Brahmaji, goes into as if into hibernation, and then the whole world remains in that darkness till again after 4.3 billion years, the world is created again. So this creative will talk in detail in the next two verses. Here I was just mainly explaining the yugas, what are the different ages, and what are the degree of happiness, and why one day of Brahmaji is equal to billions of years. The higher your mind is peaceful, the more you go beyond time. Then time has no relevance. You know, when you're in that Brahma Loka with the Lord and with Indra and all, you know, millions of years may pass, but you remain in that peace, in that bliss, which we can encounter here in meditation, or when you are in prayer and you are sitting in front of the Lord and your mind is very quiet, or when you're doing something creative, singing a beautiful song or composing a beautiful poem or something creative you're doing, then again, you know, your time just passes. So the idea is that more quiet, the more peaceful the mind, the better that state of mind is. And that's why we encourage meditation, because in meditation, your mind becomes quiet and can go beyond time. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhavi. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.